I almost wish they called it something different than manifestation, right? Because it does make it seem like it's some sort of bullshit jargon. Mm-hmm. When in reality, things are manifesting into your life every day, every minute, whether you realize it or not. So it's about becoming intentional around what you are willing and open to receive, as well as what you're pushing away. We start in that 3D world to only see and hear what we can see and hear. And we forget that there's a whole lot of layers of other things that are out there that you can't see. There's a whole lot of things that you can't hear. For instance, dogs can hear sounds that we can't. Dolphins talk to each other and we don't hear it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Hey, my friend, how you doing? This is Sasha, and you're listening to Enliven.
Okay, so hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Enliven Podcast. Today, we have my friend, my sister, we have Cassie McKenzie. Cassie, would you please introduce yourself to everybody?
Oh my God, thank you so much, Sasha. I'm so excited to be here. It's always so much fun to talk to you. So I'm a manifestation coach and a business coach, and now abundance healer for, spiritual entrepreneurs mainly. And, you know, occasionally I'll take on people who, you know, just want to like live epic lives and they're done with their own bullshit. Right. So that's basically me in the nutshell.
Whenever we're talking about manifestation, it gets cheesy real quick. And I feel like you make it pragmatic. Maybe it's because you're an earth sign, but also I find that your personality is just, you make it hilarious, you make it funny, and you make it pragmatic. I want to ask you, were you always like that? How did you get excited into manifestation? And when did you find your voice on how to teach it?
Great question. I initially, in this lifetime, at least, probably like many other people, heard about The Secret, you know, and like Law of Attraction. At the time, I was working for Johnson & Johnson in their diagnostics group out in California. And I had been a pharma rep prior to that and switched into diagnostics and absolutely hated it because it was just like this big, long selling cycle. Like everybody was old.
Everybody was like, no offense to old people.
Right. No, I mean,
people like, want to work with you.
Yeah, no, that wasn't it. It was the other way around. Like I was fully open. I like when I started out of college, I started with J&J and I was 21 years old. I had braces and a bad haircut. Everybody else who worked there was like probably the average age was like 40 to 50s. And then when 10 years later, I wanted to move to California. So I switched within J&J. My manager at the time was super freaking cool. Like he was awesome. But the rest of the company for the majority, I'd say like 90% were probably in like their 50s and 60s, former like lab people. And they did not like the new, like young crowd that some of the managers had started hiring. It was very uncomfortable. They'd basically look at you like you were 15, you know, and this is the fact I came from pharmaceuticals was like, they looked at me like I was the dumbest piece of shit. Like, before. And then eventually my manager got let go and they hired a bitch on wheels to take his place. And like, seriously, like I'm an NLP. I'm a manifestation coach. I'm a life coach. I'm a proponent of own your shit. Don't make like excuses, blah, blah, blah. I fully realized like I had a lot to do with like whether or not I liked this chick, but she also was like a raging bosszilla. And like, I just like literally came after me after like day one. And I was just like, do, 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 do. So I got The Secret. And I remember like driving around in from San Diego to Palm Springs to go to the doctor. And you know, like not all jobs are a great fit, right? People, like we all know this. It's just when you cut the ties and move on, right? Anyway, so I started listening to The Secret and I remember I was on like CD number 3 and I'm like, I still have not heard motherfucking Secret. Like what is the goddamn Secret?
Where's The Secret?
What's The Secret? I want to know it. And so like, you know, they never told you, at least in my opinion back then. I'm like,
right. Do they tell you?
Yeah. I was a very logical, like, I need to know the steps to The Secret. And so
you want it to be like, The Secret is
exactly. Yeah. I mean, just like in Cosmo magazine, when they say 10 steps to weight loss, lose those 10 pounds in next month. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, long story short, it didn't really take with me that round. And a couple years later, though, I ended up, after I lost that job, surprise, I got a really great severance, though, which might have something to do with the fact that I just, after I figured there was no secret, I just kept back going to chapter 5, The Secret to Money. And I just drive around listening to that chapter over and over and over again. I'm like, health, fuck that. Relationships, fuck that. No, I want the money. Just give me the money. I mean, Rhonda Byrne goes and says she like made $10 million and whatever after she got The Secret. So that perked my ears right up. And, but yeah, a fast forward a couple years later, I went through like a bad breakup and then my grandmother passed away. But somewhere around there, when I moved out into my own place with literally my dog, and I went to a psychic and a tarot reader and,
as you do.
I know, with one of my friends, and she, and I mean, I was scared to death. I was like, what the fuck are they going to tell me? I have no idea. But anyway, she basically said like a bunch of great things. And then also the one thing that stuck with me was like, you will meet your soulmate. Like this is blah, 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 blah. But in order for him to recognize you, you need to have your energy up. You need to like have your energy healed or whatever. I didn't know what energy healing was. Like I had no concept.
What is energy healing while you're there? For the people who are listening, who are like,
oh, yeah, right. So like, you know, Reiki is a form of energy healing. Anything to open up your chakras, any blocks, like energy blocks, so it's not flowing fully through your body. You can, I mean, but you've got energy heal, you get energy healings for, I do them now for my clients for abundance. You can do it for health reasons. Like everything operates and vibrates at a certain frequency and we're all made of energy. So if your energy is literally stuck around something, then you are not going to be operating like optimally, right? And you're not going to get the optimal results back too. And you're going to feel like low vibration emotions that then depress your energy further. And then that can cause disease even in your body, right?
What was the process for you when you started like go from a 3D only to understanding the other dimensions?
Long time. I mean, it was only literally been recently. I only got my first Reiki healing session like a year and a half ago, maybe. Like it's been of like a very exponential growth rate since then in understanding it. But it all goes back to quantum physics, right? So like we are all, everything's made up of atoms. Some things are like denser in their energy than some are lighter in their energy, right? So you're made up if you go all the way down in your body, you're basically just a bunch of vibrating atoms that are vibrating at a certain frequency. And there's a lot of different universal laws. Like, okay, so you've got the science part. Like you probably, you know, people are probably not going to argue with the fact of what they learned in seventh grade about atoms. And like, this is how you make a water molecule. Like basically you're a bunch of like atoms and vibrating, blah, 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 like all the energy. So, and the simplest way I can say is like, if you've ever walked past like a group of people who were like very depressed, you can feel that energy off of them. You don't even have to be an empath to feel that something's off. Or like, you know, dogs can feel it. I remember walking my dog around downtown Atlanta late at night, and there would be certain people that she would like pull closer to me and growl. And she was a very mild-tempered dog that never like, you know, like got along with everybody. But, you know, you can sense that sort of, it's one of your six senses, right? Like you can sense that energy that's like coming off of different things, right? So when you apply that to like manifestation and things like that, like there's obviously the science backing of have like you're like, you can't refute what you're made of and the energy that you're made of. And if everything is energy and you apply those universal laws, which are the woo woo spiritual part, but like, do you argue with the fact that I'm going to take this pen and like drop it? And like, you heard the sound of it dropping, like there's a law of gravity that you can't see. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think people like we start in that 3D world to only see and hear what we can see and hear. And we forget that there's a whole lot of layers of other things that are out there that you can't see. There's a whole lot of things that you can't hear. For instance, dogs can hear sounds that we can't. Dolphins talk to each other and we don't hear it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening, right? So all of this stuff is happening around you. You're just not on that like it's just not in your awareness yet. And once you become, like, I would challenge somebody, if they don't believe that energy is real or that energy gets stuck, go to a Reiki healing and like just try not to feel better afterwards, right?
Like, in the beginning, I know for me, when I was learning about manifestation, I thought it was like magic. And I thought it was all about bringing things into my life. Like, if I just think about it really, really, really hard, it's going to show up. Like, that's kind of what you hear, right? Yeah. But my relationship with manifestation now is so different. It's so much more about understanding the energetics in my life and knowing when to make a move to make something else shift. Like, it's no longer about things. It's more about how I feel.
I almost wish they called it something different than manifestation, right? Because it kind of, it does make it seem like it's some sort of bullshit jargon, when in reality, things are manifesting into your life every day, every minute, whether you realize it or not. So it's about becoming intentional around what you are willing and open to receive, as well as what you're pushing away, whether you're conscious of it or not. So, and then you're a big, you know, NLP, subconscious brain dork like me, right? So like, big time. We're sexy dorks. But like, you know, it all goes together. So it's not just about, let me just get the car. Like, do you really want the car? Once you have the car, what are you going to do with it, right? Are you going to wonder if somebody's going to come take it away? Like, because you don't believe you can truly have it, right? So there's all these things where like we set these arbitrary goals, like even in our industry, like the $10,000 month, like as soon as you hit the $10,000 month, you wonder what the fuck's wrong with me? How come I couldn't do it the next month? You know what I mean? Or what happens? Like, ooh, like you manifest all this money all at once. And then like a few days go by and you're wondering what's wrong with you because you can't, like, why not do it every day? Sort of like watching American football where they all wait to the last 30 seconds to decide to score like 8 touchdowns, you know? And you're like, why didn't you guys just decide to do this the whole damn game? Like, that would probably make your lives a lot easier, right? Mm-hmm. So it's literally it all goes into the emotional intelligence. That is the hugest, biggest part of it, because your emotions and your feelings have a certain frequency and vibration, and you are going to attract into your life what you're putting out. And this is not about like spiritual bypassing and like, hey, I feel sad, but I'm just going to decide to feel happy instead and ignore the reason why I'm feeling sad, because then it's, I can't feel sad or else I'm going to bring more sad things to me, right? And that's not it. Like, you shoving it under, like shoving a bunch of weeds into a hole doesn't make them go away. It actually makes them grow even more, right? It's all about being aware, like your awareness, your intentionality, like how are you feeling? If you feel bad, why? What's causing that? Like figuring out those patterns that just keep repeating, because those patterns and are those habits that you're either consciously or subconsciously aware of. And that is what is driving everything that's coming into your life, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of us who come into the manifestation world who are finally ready to say, okay, all right, I'm going to give this weird wacko thing a try. And then we understand, okay, there's like science to this. This is like a quantum physics thing. This is a real thing. And we start to see, you know, the pen drop. We start to see, oh, there's laws to the universe. Gravity is a law of the universe. There's frequencies. Mm-hmm. You know, we understand people that come together. I don't know if you've ever been to Burning Man or something like that. And for some reason, there's no cell phone reception or whatever, but you somehow find your friends. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how does that happen? Like, I've experienced that. And I'm like, this is wild. You know, this is like the crazy thing. So
totally.
I actually love what you said also about the manifestation thing and why do they call it that? Because I don't know if you know Mitch Horowitz. He's a writer, and then he talks about manifestation, but he says that we should call it selecting. Mm-hmm. It should be called selecting instead, because everything is happening all at once, all of the time. We're just selecting a particular reality to see the world from. Based on our reticular activating system. Ask you, what do you think about that? Do you agree that it's kind of like a selection? And if so, how do we select a better reality?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it all goes back to, like you said, your, you know, subconscious mind, your reticular activating system. Like, honestly, it's such a bridge between you and the universe and what's all, and when I say the universe, what I mean is all of these, like, we are all multidimensional beings that exist, you know, and play within different dimensions at all the time, right? Like, some of us are only aware, though, of like the 3D world, like the tangible 3D world that we live in right now. And that's where a lot of your old beliefs and old patterns come from, because you've basically been conditioned and shaped your whole life as to what to believe, what to accept, how to do things. And it's not until you meet somebody else that tells you, hey, I do it this way. And you're like, fuck, that could have saved me like 10 years out of my life. You know what I mean? You know, like, you have to be aware and open up to different perspectives, because there are like fourth dimension, everything past, present, future. It's all happening all at once. It's a mishmash. It's confusion. It's total chaos, right? So what you literally, people talk about the quantum and plucking things from the quantum, but like, it's not like that. It's all, you are part of all of these things happening all together all at once. So if you can realize that and accept that there are way more solutions around you than you are even aware of, but your only way to get in touch with them is to open up your awareness and willingness to be aware. And, you know, also, it's not comfortable, you know, the 3D world, like, it is way more comfortable to stay where you are, to stay right in your small house when you really want a big one, because you might have to figure out a way to put the down payment down or buy a different house that needs like upgrades. And that's a pain in the ass, as we all know, right? Mm-hmm. Or it might be easier to stay with like the wrong partner, or to stay in the marriage where you're unhappy, because divorce is expensive. It takes a long time. And what will everybody else say? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or it's easier to stay in the job that you hate because, hey, there's a paycheck. Then it's not that bad. You know what I mean?
And you know, and you can predict the future, as opposed to if you start, yeah, you want to make the change, but you're like, yeah, oh, not next week, because next week is this, or it's never the right time. Yeah. And you're trying to predict the future. You're like, I can't plan everything, so I'm not going to do it. I luckily wasn't one of those. I'm quite reckless. So like that worked out in my favor. I think it has to do with my, you know, I'm a Sagittarius rising with Mars and Aries, which means like, I don't really think things through all the time, you know, I really fucking don't. And it actually worked out in my favor so many times. Obviously I fucked up sometimes and I do things and then I have to go back, you know, I'm like, I have to like learn this. I didn't do this right, you know, but I love to be nose first. And then I would rather crash and get up. Yeah. But I've also seen, and it's really sad, like a lot of people who don't have this maybe reckless attitude, this impatience, you know, they stay stuck for longer. They stay in things for longer. They stay in relationships for longer. They stay in jobs for longer. And there's also an honorable thing about that, which is, you know, the ability to stay, like being a loyal person. So they're identifying with, I'm a loyal, I stayed in there for 20 years. Like, and there's a lot of pride in that, you know, society kind of rewards that. Like, oh, you've done tenure. So it's almost like we're unwilling to lose that identity that we feel safe in, which means that we're also losing so much of life by hanging on to this. So I would like to ask you something.
It's 4:44. Yeah.
I love that. I actually did a live video yesterday, and what are the odds? It ended at like 44:44, and I was like, whoa.
Oh my God.
That's, I love it. Like, that's, what are the odds of that? And I was talking about synchronicity, so that's crazy. Anyways, I want to actually ask you about your abundance healing. How does that work? I mean, like, what do you do? Do you wave a wand?
No. It's a blend between basically healing your like mental blocks, like subconscious mental blocks to abundance, as well as energetic blocks that you have in your body. And the way that I do it is I put you into this kind of like meditative state, and you get connected with the energy of like multi-dimensions, dimensions 1 through 9. And from there, we fill you up with the energy of abundance, open you up, you get filled up with the energy of abundance. And then I'm able to tell where your blocks are, because we're all in this meditative state together. And I can actually like when my eyes are closed, I can picture where your blocks actually are in your body and tell you to push the energy through them so that you can open it up. And it's really cool.
And I'm just trying to play devil's advocate, because I just know the people who listen to this. Some of them, not everybody, but it's like, I've experienced this because, like, literally with you. And I don't want to go too in depth, because it's like your magic, you know, that's it, your thing.
Oh, no.
You know, like that cord, that fluid, that flow, it's almost like you're very good at creating a visual.
Oh yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, like a lot about manifestation is visual. Like we have to kind of visualize it.
I used to be shit at it too, like really bad.
Really? Oh my gosh, but you're so good at it.
No, like me, I got so angry when we went to NLP training, like pissed off, because I am completely uncensored here. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm just perfect.
I'm perfect. I was born with this.
That is horseshit. No way. No, seriously, guys. Like, I went with my husband to become an NLP practitioner. And it was 8 days long.
What is NLP for the people who are listening?
Neuro-linguistic programming. Basically, we're certified to be able to help people reprogram their subconscious mind, unresolved inner conflicts, unresolved emotions like anger, fear, sadness, hurt, and guilt. I'm actually a certified in hypnosis, and it's really a brain-based way of reshaping the way that you think, your patterns, your habits, so that you can start to live a more expansive life. So we went to become practitioners. I heard a few other people who had done it. I was like, this sounds really cool. This sounds like right up my alley. I want to do this. And I'm like, Ian, this is going to be so much fun. This is going to be cool. Like, I think you're going to like it. Oh my God. He is very good at like the visual things, or he already was. I, on the other hand, sat there just kind of like in my head the whole time, totally the entire week. Like, we would be in class, I think it was like until 8 o'clock at night, and we would drive home, and like by day 7, I was so pissed off. I was just like, I can't believe it. This is such a fucking waste of time for me. You're doing so great. And here I'm like fucking it up left and right. You know what I mean? Like, it was a hot mess. And so if I can do this, and I can like develop and open up these capabilities, at least like maybe I feel like it was a lesson, so that then I can help other people that are struggling with it.
I was literally journaling on this today. Life presents us with challenges, and then we're so annoyed with this thing, and it's like we can't be complacent about it. We can't just let it go. We have to do something. And then when we want to do something, we get frustrated, we get angry, and then we find the way through that. Like, whatever is annoying as fuck to you, you're meant to go towards it and find a solution and then share with other people.
Totally, yeah. And like, now it's led me, like, I think like by day 8, the day we were leaving, we did like it finally started to work out for me. Like, I was able to do the hypnosis without getting in my head too much. There was another visualization that we did that actually ended up, it was a visualization where you put a goal out into the future. And it was like, imagine 3 months from now, what would you like to be doing? And what I imagined and what I put the goal in the future was us living in St. Petersburg, Florida, we would be celebrating on the beach right outside of this, like the hotel you can't miss. It's the Don Cesar. It's like a bright, hot Pepto-Bismol pink hotel. And I remember, and it was like sunset and the kids were playing, and literally like I get chills like thinking about this, because like by the end of June, so February we went to NLP, so March, April, May, so 4 months later we had closed on our house in St. Petersburg. We were on the beach on a Friday night watching the sunset with our kids, like right next to the dawn. like, and I was just like, holy shit, like that moment actually is right now. Like I put that into the future and it's happening right now. Holy crap.
You manifested some pretty magical things. You're so real, but at the same time, you really manifest magical shit into your life without being like,
No, no ball crystals, no, none of that. I have never used a yoni egg. I thought about it, but I never ordered it. Like, I'm not against it. I'd be up for it. I'd probably forget it was there, though. No, what the
hell? There's something that we have in common, but we're both married to South African men.
Yeah.
How the hell did you manifest a gorgeous, sexy South African husband? How does that happen?
This actually ties in with that first question you asked, because when I went to that psychic and she said, you're going to meet your guy, but you need to, like, you know, have your energy up. And I didn't know about any sort of energy healing. I didn't even know what the hell like that meant or whatever. And all I took it as like, I need to get my energetic vibration up. And I didn't even know. Sort of like my simplest translation was, I need to get over my motherfucking issues. I need to like move past this breakup. I need to like shed, like, I just need to get over it. I need to like start feeling better, like finding happiness, like focusing on things that bring me joy, like that kind of thing, so that I can just make myself happy. About like a week later, my grandmother passed away. And so I had a 7.5-hour drive to St. Petersburg, which is where we live now. And I popped in those CDs again from The Secret. It clicked and I finally got it. Like it finally clicked in with everything. Like all I wanted to do was just take it all in. And like I went on Pinterest, had all the Pinterest boards, like, and like, this is where the crazy part of the story. I was trying to decide between Fort Lauderdale, where I had never lived before, and San Diego, where I had lived and I loved it there. But what ended up happening was I moved to San Diego. Like I ended up basically manifesting getting laid off again. And I was so excited. I literally had all my stuff primed to move out. Like within 2 weeks, I was there. It was me, my two dogs, and a blow-up doll I'd named Bernard. He was in the front seat, and he had a Philip Rivers jersey on. And I was like, yeah, I'm not alone. I got Bernard. He's got a South Carolina Gamecocks hat on. Like, we are on our way to California. Yeah, good. But, like, what it did was, like, I became so much more aware of signs. Things that, synchronicities that started to happen were just crazy. And I know I'm going to meet my soulmate here. Like I know it, and I'm going to know exactly who he is because I've got an idea in my head of like what it's going. It was really like not so much what he was going to look like, but what it was going to like feel like too.
I so agree with that. It's definitely a feeling.
So I did make a list. It kind of gave me like some sort of thing to look for. I mean,
it's an intention. Like you're kind of casting a wide net. Like,
yeah,
I'm intending on this.
Yeah. And like the first sentence though was like, he, you know, he's a straight male and he lives within like this many miles of, and I couldn't decide on whether San Diego or Fort Lauderdale for the longest time. And finally I was like, you know what? Screw it. I love California. That's where I want to be. I'm moving out there, period. End of story. My best friend and I, we are big like music junkies. Like one random Wednesday night, we were supposed to go see, a band play, and we ended up like blowing it off and going to this bar called The Waterfront instead. So when we were there, we ended up sitting next to a whole table full of yachties that worked on a giant super yacht. There was probably like 10 of them. She started dating one of them. And 3 months later, my husband joined the crew of that boat. The craziest part of this whole story, when I was thinking of moving to Fort Lauderdale, he had actually moved to Fort Lauderdale to work on yachts that were based out in the Caribbean. And like, as soon as I decided, nope, San Diego it is, as soon as I made that decision, randomly got an email from the boat that he ended up joining saying, hey, we have an opening here, so you can come up to San Diego. And so it's really strange. This is the major manifestation message here. Stop listening to how everybody else says or what everybody else says is possible for you. You know, like where you've got to meet a good man or where you've got or how you're going to do it. Because some people will tell you, you'll never meet somebody good on like match.com or like an app or whatever. Now, I didn't have a lot of luck with that. I was open to it, but I mean, I got one too many dick pics. from like guys that lived with their mom still. And I was like, you know what? No. When people can't believe or like don't know where to start, or they're like, how, I tell them, and this is my biggest tip, go script out the most random, weird way that what you want is going to work out, right? Because chances are the way it actually works out is going to be a series of even weirder shit that's going to happen. When I met my husband, I met him on the outside patio of a restaurant / bar at the Ocean Beach Chili Cook-Off and Street Fair after I had almost just gotten arrested in the alleyway with my two friends at the ripe old age of 34. Like, I might have been, I was just about to turn like 35. So when people tell you like you're too old or you'll never meet the man of your dreams while you're drunk at a bar, I will say bullshit on all of that. And I remember I was afraid of getting arrested. And I told like the cops, I'm like, I can't be arrested. I just had an interview with Amgen the other day. Like, I can't have this on my record. Oh my God. You know? And so I went in and they were like, okay, you guys have to leave. Like, that's the only way you can go get your stuff, but you can't stay here. So what do? We go up to the bar, we ordered another beer. Like, we like sit down at the bar and Ian's like, that's when I started talking to him. Like, he had shown up while we were out in the alleyway and he was just sitting there with this dumb Panama hat on his head. And I remember looking at him being like, I'm like, adrenaline rush. We all come running, storming up onto the patio. And I remember sitting down and like a split second, I looked at him and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? And why is he wearing that dumbass hat? He would never want to talk to me. He's obviously like way too cool for me, because like guys don't go out looking like that if, you know, just to meet some hot mess of a girl, right? But 15 minutes later, I was sitting right next to him. He had ordered me a beer and we were actually making out. Like, it was instant, where I was just like all over it. Yeah.
It came through.
Still did.
And yeah, it's like you have to be willing to recognize it when it's in your face, you know? Yeah. I love that. It really sounds like you've navigated things with your intuition from somebody who's like by the book, logical. And yeah, then you also manifested your own business. Did you use your manifestation magical powers to start your business and to navigate life?
All of this stuff that you learn, you've got to remember that like you learn it once and that doesn't mean you're like, oh, I've internalized it. Not true. Like, all it takes is one crisis to completely forget everything that you've learned and then go down the freaking wormhole again. Once you start this work, you've got to continue at it. You know, you've got to just keep it fresh. Do whatever you can to do your mind food, because it's easy for it to kind of like the erosion, right? It's like soil erosion. I started listening to podcasts. From that point, I was like, holy crap, there's actually people besides Bob Proctor and like Rhonda Byrne.
Love that you just said that. So what kind of person do you work with and what do you offer?
Yeah. So I like to work with people who are ready to do the work, who are ready to like step away and be bigger than their own bullshit, right? That, you know, understand that things have happened to them, but they're willing and ready to change it. You know what I mean? And willing to like sit in the work as opposed to sit in the excuses, because there's a big difference. And a lot of what I do, I teach you processes that you can take yourself through at every level. Like, because here's the thing, like people think once I reach this level or get this thing, then I'm going to be happy. And maybe you will be happy, but you'll probably see how easy it was to get a different stage in life and you'll want more and more. Mm. So you'll end up hitting against like those same kind of things or beliefs or whatever that you had before, because you're literally like leveling up, right? So what I like to teach, instead of like teaching you something to manifest one time, I like to teach you the process so that you can replicate it over and over as you're going through life and stepping up and up and up and up and up and elevating even more, right? And that's why like a lot of the abundance healings and things like that I teach, you can actually use for multiple areas of your life as well as over and over again as you hit up against different like blocks or whatever. I used to have a Manifestation Queen Academy, but then as I've started learning more and more, or relearning more and more, right, per se, about energy and healings and things like that, I've expanded it into what I call abundance alchemy, where like you take all of the manifestation processes that I used to teach in the Manifestation Queen Academy and literally alchemize them with the energy that you have in your body and stuff. So I teach you the practical things as well as the ways to energetically shift yourself beyond just subconsciously shifting, you know? I think there's a lot of other teachers out there that teach like it's an energetic shift, but I didn't know what the fuck they meant by that. Like I thought it was just like, oh, this belief has a different energy and that's true. But also like once you've done that, you want to be able to feel where, you know, you might be overthinking too much, or maybe you're not allowing yourself to feel enough, or maybe there's other things going on there where you don't feel like there's enough safety. So it's more of like a root chakra issue where you think you need this for the safety when really it's about the safety, the love, the, you know, mind, like everything all in one. So making sure they're all connected all together. And that, so it's more like full circle.
You're cool. You're really cool. So this was really fun. And thank you so much, Cassie. It was so awesome to have you.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love it.